Amen, church. Hope you're glad you're here this morning. He is the King of Glory. Amen. We should raise a hallelujah in the house of the Lord. Yes. When believers are together, we should raise a hallelujah. Why? Because Christ is worthy of it. It's not my blood. It's His. It's His church. We're here for Jesus Christ. We're here to worship Jesus Christ and Him alone. Him alone. He is worthy, church. He is worthy. We're going to be in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans is not an easy book always to understand. There's a lot of difficult things in the book of Romans. We're going to be in a few different chapters in the book of Romans, but you know how I always like to start it off with a psalm. Psalms 139. I really want us to pay attention to this psalm while we get started here because it's an important psalm. Psalm 139. It says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know full well my frame is not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. Before one of them came to be, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I count them, they would be outnumbered, the grains of the sand, and I awake, I am still with you. Verse 23 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Amen, church. I gotta say it again. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Listen to me, church. God is the God who sees. God sees everything. It doesn't matter where you're at. He knows exactly where you are. He knows the thoughts in your head. He knows all things. How wonderful are His thoughts. How wonderful is His ways. Do you know this, church, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God and God alone? He is the creator of heaven and earth. He made everything. Everything. Everything, church. He's made everything. He is the creator. But I want to start. This is not going to be an easy message, church. It is not. But I want us to remember, ask God to search you. To search you. And see if there's an offensive way. We're not perfect people. We need God to examine our life. Praise the Lord for His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit, who convicts me where I need convicted, who corrects me where I need corrected. Praise the Holy Spirit. There is so much sin in the world. Sin upon sin upon sin. In front of the Holy God, the Almighty God, the glorious God, there's so much sin in the world. And there's a lot of sin from those who aren't in Christ. But listen to me, church. There's a lot of sin there's a lot of sin from those who claim to be in Christ. There's many of us today who are living in sin, who sin and sin and sin, who've been born again. Sin is not a good thing, church. It is not a good thing. It is what separates us from God. It hurts our relationship. It is a big wedge between you and God. Why? Because God is holy. He is holy and He is just and He is righteous. But the Word says not only does it separate us, but we become a slave to it. We become in bondage to sin. When you sin, you become slave to it. Don't you know this, church? Many times when we sin, what happens? Sin upon sin upon sin. Typically, sin leads to more sin. This is what sin does. We're a slave to it, in bondage to it. And listen to me closely, church. Sin will always lead to destruction. It will be the only place it leads. It might seem pleasurable. It might seem neat. It might be everything you've ever wanted. But listen to me. Sin, disobedience, will always lead to destruction. Always. This is hard. Church, I want to ask you this question. It's a reflective message this morning. It's a reflective message this morning. Is there sin in your life? Are you harboring sin? Are you hiding from God? Are you clinging to it? Do you never want to let the sin in your life go? And I will say it again from Psalms 139. God sees all of it. He sees your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. Here in the book of Romans, chapter 1, starting in verse 8. We're going to read a few verses. You know how I like to read a few verses. I'll give you a little context. Again, Romans is not an easy book. You're not going to always understand everything in it, but you keep studying it. You keep reading it. There's a lot of good things. You want to know about the gospel? Read the book of Romans. See, Paul wants to come to the Roman church so bad. So bad he wants to be there. And see, in the book of Romans, you see the gospel. You see who God is. You see about sin. You see about righteousness. You see about the law. You see so many things. But also the main thing, Paul is dealing with the Jews and the Gentiles in the book of Romans. You got circumcision. You got the law. You got all these things. He's dealing with these two groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles. Starting in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers. At all times, I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift and make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but I have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. See, this is what I get from this little piece. I wished we longed to be together. Paul here longed to be with the Roman church. He says he longs to be with them. Why? To encourage them. I wished we encouraged more, church. I wished we... Do you ever wake up? Do you long to be here with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you long to be together, to worship together, to encourage each other? And this is also what I get from this little piece. We should be eager to preach the gospel. Eager. I love that word. Eager to preach the gospel. To everyone. He says, Paul says, I am obligated. What a word. Obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks. Who's that? That's everybody. To the wise and the foolish. You ever get afraid when preaching the gospel to someone you think smarter than you? Obligated. That's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. He is eager to preach the gospel. Man, I wish we had that mentality in the church today, that we'd be eager to share the greatest news in all of creation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, everybody knows this verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then the Gentile. And in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. Listen to me, church. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Do you know how important it is? Do you know how important the gospel is? But yet we're ashamed, and we don't want to say it to our coworker. We don't want to say it to the person who we think is better than us. More educated than us. We don't want to say it to our mom and dad because we're afraid what they might say. Are you ashamed of the gospel, church? Do you know how important it is? What does it say? It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. That is the gospel, church. The power of God. It is salvation. We all need salvation. It is salvation. Are you ashamed of it? It is by faith alone. That is it. God's made it pretty simple for us. Pretty simple, by faith alone, in Christ alone. No other being. Jesus is the only way to the Father. The only way to the Father. Are you ashamed of it, church? Are you ashamed? He says, for I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Look at your life. Look at your life. The righteous will live by faith. Here's the hard part, church. Verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Listen to me, church. We are without excuse. God has made the gospel plainly known. God has made himself plainly known from creation. Look outside. Look outside. But the world will say that came about by chance. Your bodies, the way that you're formed, came about by chance. And we say this in the face of God, the creator of all things. By chance? No, God created all things, and he's made it plain that he's created all things. You wouldn't expect your shirt or your pants to come out of nowhere. Someone made them. You wouldn't expect the skyscraper to come out of nowhere. Somebody made it. Why would you expect someone who knitted your body together so perfectly, knitted the world so perfectly together? That takes a powerful, powerful being. That's God himself, church. That's God himself who suppressed the truth by their wickedness. Is this not visible to us, church? Is this not how the world looks at the world? Is this not how the world governs the world? They suppress the truth about God. They suppress the gospel. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they can't claim to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of an immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. See, we claim to be all-knowing. We claim to be so knowledgeable, so smart, so intelligent. And there's some pretty smart people in this world. Don't get me wrong. There's some people who know a lot of things. I don't claim to be them. But there's some people. But we exchange that for the knowledge of God. We exchange that. And it says, see, being so wise, they became fools. Are we not also like that sometimes, church? Think we know everything? Think we got it all figured out? Wow, are we foolish sometimes? Do we even know a small piece of the glory of God? How wonderful his thoughts are, how wonderful his ways are. We know very, very little about the Almighty God, but he has said he has made it known to all of us who he is. Through his word, through his creation, he cannot make it more known. We'll ask God, I need this, I just can't believe in you, but look what he's already given us so that we might know him. It's important, church. This is important. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Is this not what we do in the world, church? This is the point of the whole message. We live in a sinful, sinful world. We exchange the truth for a lie. We exchange the truth about God for a lie, a different gospel. A gospel we would like. A gospel that would feel good. Wow. and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because He is forever praised, church. Verse 26, we're going to keep going. I want us to really look at all these. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Listen to me, church. I did not say it. The Bible said it. The Bible said it. Homosexuality, I'm sorry, it's a sin. Sex outside of marriage is a sin, church. Adultery is a sin. Church, they're sins. Looking at pornography, it's a sin. Lusting in your heart is a sin. I did not say it, church. The Word of God said it. We can be upset. We can say, my opinion matters. But listen to me, church. My opinion does not matter. God's opinion matters. Do you care about what God says in His Word? Do you care about what sin is a sin? Lying, it's a sin. There's many, many sins. But listen to me, homosexuality can be a touchy subject. But the Word of God, I think, is pretty clear here. It's a sin, not only in the Old Testament, but the New Testament. Jesus says, man leaves his mother, father, clings to his wife. One man, one wife. That's it. That's it, church. Again, let's keep going. That's not the only thing. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They became filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Church, they've listed many, many sins here, and it says God gave them over. Well, what does that mean? That's an interesting thing. God gave them over to the depraved mind, their shameful desires, all those things. God does not make us sin, church. But when we say, God, get lost, He respects our decision. He's given us a free will. When we say, God, I'll do it my way, God says, okay, we'll see how it goes. That's what He does, church. God respects our decisions. God doesn't force us to do anything. He respects our decisions. He respects our free will. But again, these aren't good things. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. Invent ways of doing evil. Do we not see this in the world we live in? Invent ways of doing evil, doing sinful things. We'll try to, man, that's just not good enough. I want to do something better. That's what we often do with sin. I want to do something just a little bit more. We take another step and another step and another step, and we're so far away from God. We don't know how to get back. We feel like there's no hope. I can't get out of the sin of my life. Listen to me. There's hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope in Jesus Christ. And it says although they know God's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve death. Listen to me. Those who sin deserve death. And we are all sinners and we deserve death. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Praise God for Jesus Christ that He has washed our sins as white as snow on the cross. Not my blood, but His. Not my blood, but His. His precious blood has saved me. His precious blood has saved me. But it says not only do we continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. This is what I see a lot of times in the church. A lot of times in the church, and it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. Well, just they can do what they want. I'll just do what I want. Is it really that bad? We often approve of those who do sinful things. But listen to me closely, church. We often will approve of the same sins in our own life. will often self-justify. This is why I read Psalms 139, church. We can self-justify a lot of things. We can sear our consciences quite a bit. That we can actually convince ourselves that the sinful things that we do are good. Search me, God, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Our desires are not always good. Our desires are not always good, church. We often have a lot of bad desires. I want you to picture something for a minute. I want you to think about it. If you had a screen behind your head that displayed all your thoughts, how embarrassed would you be? How embarrassed would you be if people actually saw that your thoughts and the things that you wanted to do and your desires, all those things, how embarrassed would you be? Because I would be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed. God sees all things. He sees it as at the screen. Chapter 2. See, we'll be like, yeah, yeah. You're right, those are sins. Yeah, yeah, those are sins. Listen to chapter 2. You therefore have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? See, hypocrisy, church. We often will shake our fist at the world, but we ourselves are doing the same things. We might hide it. We might not think anybody knows, but listen to me. Even if nobody knows, it's still hypocrisy in God's eyes. If you two are doing the same things, and this is an important thing to know about the book of Romans, this is what the people would say, and people in the world say the same things. Just grace. I can do whatever I want. Because of grace, I can do whatever I want. This is what Romans is talking, the book of Romans here in a few more chapters is talking about, the people who think that they can just keep on sinning and sinning and sinning because of the grace of God. And this is what he says: or do you show contempt for the riches of kindness, of his kindness, forbearance, patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? See, this is what happens. Just because God does not judge us right then and there, it doesn't mean he approves. Just because you aren't being disciplined for the sin that you're committing right now does not mean that God approves of it. And are you taking advantage of the kindness, the patience that God has for us when we're in sin? God is beyond patient, church. He's beyond patience. He gives us time to repent. And this is what this passage is saying, not realizing that God's kindness, his mercy and his grace is intended to lead you to repentance. Church, we often need to repent. We need to have a heart of repentance. A heart of repentance. See, when you come to Christ, that is the attitude you must have every single day of your life. A repentant heart. Not repent once. A repentant heart. To continue to repent, because all are unrighteous. This is what the book of Romans talks about. All are unrighteous. The Jews and the Gentiles were all the same. Slave, free, all that. We're all the same. We're all sinners. We're all unrighteous. We are not as good as we think we are. Can we admit that today, church? We are not as good as we think we are. Just because people see the smile on our face, we put the mask on sometimes so well. But I believe today, out of the many people that are here, there's somebody who is in the midst of sin, who's trying to figure out. But listen to me when I tell you that just because you haven't been punished for it or God hasn't disciplined you yet doesn't mean that you're getting off scot-free. God disciplines us. Even children, true believers in Christ, if you're in the midst of sin, expect the discipline to come. Expect it to come. Expect the correction to come. And I want to show us here this verse in James. Many of us know it. James 1:13 and 15. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Where does sin lead? It leads to destruction. Sin leads to death. And see, we often won't take responsibility for our sins. We often say, God made me do it. God does not force us to sin. Here in James it says, God does not tempt me. God does not tempt us. How do we sin? It is by our own evil desires. Gives birth to sin. When it's fully grown, it gives birth to death. That's it. God does not force us. We choose sin. You hear me, church? We choose it. When you fall into sin, you did it. That's going to be hard to hear, church. But it is true. We have to take responsibility for the actions and the sins that we commit. We have to, because if we don't take responsibility for our sins, we often won't repent. If you don't think it's your fault, you're not going to repent from it. It is our fault when we sin. And again, I'll say, sin leads to death. This is the heart of the gospel, really, that we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And that leads to death. But praise the Lord that Jesus Christ has conquered the grave. He has conquered death. We don't, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a place in heaven. This is important. You once had a place in hell. You once had a place in hell. But because Jesus Christ sacrificed on the cross, come on, church, because Jesus Christ sacrificed on the cross, we have a place in heaven, an inheritance in heaven. Praise the Lord, church. It couldn't be done by you. Only by his son. Only by his son. Sin leads to death. Sin leads to death. Go back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 is so amazing. Oh, I feel like I got to read this. It's a good piece. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 21. But now apart from the law of righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It is through faith. Church, through faith that God gives us his righteousness, not a righteousness that we have, but it says that we are justified freely by his grace. Justified means what? We have been made right. We once had a guilty verdict. We were once guilty, but Christ made us not guilty. Not guilty, because of the sins we commit lead to death. It's all about redemption, church. Redemption. Are you redeemed, church? Are you redeemed? Are you redeemed? It's about redemption. Christ has redeemed us fully if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You once had no hope. But when Jesus Christ bled and died upon a cross for you and I, he's given us a living hope, a blessed hope, a hope that is everlasting. An everlasting hope. It is redemption. That we once had a debt so big, a debt we could never pay. But Jesus paid for it. He paid for it. With his body and his blood. I want you just to imagine the cross for a moment. That Jesus prays, let this cup pass before me. Not my will, but your will, God. And he bleeds and dies upon a cross. He's been spit at, crown of thorns, jabbed on his head. They nail him to a cross. Listen to me, church. Listen to me closely. When he's bleeding and dying on the cross, do you know what he says? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness, church. Forgiveness. That God would even forgive a sinner like me. That he would forgive a sinner like you, who does many, many evil things, who thinks many, many evil things, but Christ says, I love you. I care for you. I'm going to die for you. Jesus Christ didn't want to go. He said, let the cup pass before me. But he obeyed the Father all the way to death for you and I. And how do we know that? It says, because he loved us. He loves us, church. You ever wondered if you're loved or if you're cared about? Think about the cross of Jesus Christ. You are more than loved and cared for. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And there's many of us living in sin saying, I don't want to move. I'm never going to get out of my sin. I like it too much. Christ died for you. Christ died for you to wash it as white as snow, to cast it as far as the east is from the west, church. The east is from the west, and he remembers it no more. What a great, almighty, awesome God that he is, that he would do that for you and I, someone who laughs in the face of God, who says, I like the things that I do, God. I don't like the things that you do, that yet he would still die for you and I. Do you look at the world that we live in? Look at all the sins and the wickedness and the evil that is in the world, and listen to me closely, church. Jesus said, I died for you. He's died for the whole world, that all would come to belief in Jesus Christ. And again, I will say, are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you eager to preach the gospel? Because it's the salvation to all who believe. Salvation to all who believe. Who is the person in your life? Who is the person in your life that needs Jesus Christ? We ought to be eager to share the gospel with them. We ought not to be ashamed. We ought to move and humbly pray for them every single day. Humbly pray for them every single day. They need it, church. You who are in Christ, you who have a relationship with Christ, ought to know that your brothers and sisters that don't have Christ, your mom and your dad who don't have Christ, your friends, you ought to know the power of salvation, the joy that it brings, and you ought to know where they're going if they don't have Jesus Christ. It's not a place you want anyone to go. Fire and darkness. How the Bible describes hell, fire and darkness. But the most horrible thing about it is you are separated from God. See, even those who don't believe experience the grace of God here on earth. They still experience the grace of God, the things that he gives to us. But that's to lead them to salvation. But when the world is done, or your time is done, it's done. And I'll ask you a question. Where are you at? Where are you at in your life? Do you have a relationship with the Son? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And if you do, where is it? Where's your relationship? You got a good relationship? Or you got a tainted relationship? A tainted relationship from sin. From sin in your life. We expect God to keep blessing us. We expect God to bless us over and over and over again. But yet we sin over and over and over again. Why would you honestly expect God to bless you while you're living in sin? Now that's a hard thing to hear. And does he still sometimes bless us in sin? Sometimes. But it's only to lead us to repentance. It's only to lead us back to the Father. I believe there's probably a lot of people, a lot of Christians today, hiding from God. Are you hiding from God this morning? Are you hiding from your Father in heaven? Are you broken this morning? Is there sin in your life? Can I tell you that there's hope in Jesus Christ? There's hope in Jesus Christ. And I just feel like I got to say this, and it's a hard thing to say. Me and Phil did a podcast on depression this week. It was a hard episode. But it was a hard episode because when I did some research, just over 48,000 people committed suicide just in the United States this year. That's a lot of people without a hope, who lost their hope or never had any hope at all. But Jesus Christ says there's living hope, that He is everlasting hope. That if you don't know how to get out of your sin this morning, can I tell you the answer is Jesus Christ? The answer is always Jesus Christ. Always Jesus Christ. This is the foundation of this church. Church, the foundation is Jesus Christ. So I pray that any time a pastor comes up here, and I know that they do, we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But can I tell you, it's not just our responsibility to preach the gospel. It's not. It is your responsibility to preach the gospel wherever you're at, to preach the good news, the great news of Jesus Christ, the way that He lived, a perfect, awesome, did so many miracles, and goes to the cross for you and I. And He dies. And He's buried in a tomb for 3 days. And He rises again. And He promises us, church, listen to me, He promises us the same resurrection. Resurrection. Are you looking forward to resurrection, church? Where there's no more sin, no more pain, and no more suffering. Don't you want your mom and your dad to be there? Don't you want your friends and your family to be there? Do they even know about Christ? Do they even know about Christ? See, there's many today living in sin. Many. Many people living in sin. A life in rebellion to God. Running from God, disobeying God. All those things. We can self-justify it. But I want us to be honest this morning. That's the only way that anybody changes, if we're honest this morning. And it's for every single person in here, myself included. We have to be honest. We can water it down if we want, but that doesn't do anybody any good. Let's be honest this morning. Is your life right? Is our life right with God? Are you hiding sin? Are you harboring sin? Are you clinging to it? He sees it all. He's the God who sees, as one of His names. He is the God who sees. Do you want a relationship with God this morning? Is that something you even want? Do you want a relationship with God? You need one. We all need one. A relationship with God this morning. And listen to me. Do you want the redemption that He offers? That we were once slaves to sin, but He has broken those chains of sin in our life. Live like you're redeemed, church. Live like you've been redeemed. Where's the joy of our salvation? Many churches, I often wonder, where's the joy of our salvation? Are we even still happy? Still rejoicing that God saved us? That God did an amazing work in our life? Is there sin living in your life? Let's stand.